It's Monday, y'all, and I'm telling you, I know how some of y'all feel. You know how it's the first work day of the week is. So I will say hello to my co-host, Miss Ngonye. What's going on, beautiful lady?
Greetings. I'm good, and you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for asking.
Looks like it's just me and you right now?
Yeah, always. Well, on the line anyway. I see Antoinette,
okay.
Beanie, the Boo One, and Guest 1631, they all in the chat room, so they're here. They're here
okay.
And ready.
All right.
Yeah, they're here and ready. So, anyway, so tell me about your weekend. How was your weekend?
Well, it was pretty nice, pretty
nice.
Yeah, uh-huh. Just got out and enjoyed the sun a little bit, to the pool with some neighbors, and did a little bit of running around, nothing real big. It was kind of a, you know, just a kind of a slow weekend, but it was a good one.
Oh, outstanding. Do you just the pool? You get to go to the pool?
Yeah, where I live at, yeah. They have four pools, as a matter of fact.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Mm-hmm. They have six lakes.
Oh, my goodness. See, I
have
to go to the backyard and turn on.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go in the backyard and turn on the water hose and just stand under it. You know how you take it back in the day? Put your finger on the hose and make the water come out like sprinkles.
Yeah, well, you know, that's good, too. And I'm sure if you want to go to a pool, you can get to one. I just happen to live in a complex.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't do public pools too well. I don't do nothing public too well anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, I blame that on the military. But anyway.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Lord have mercy. But anyway, y'all, welcome to the show. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm the host, Mr. Talk, and we got our co-host, Miss Ngonye, and she's here with us. And if I miss something, I know she'll catch it. So y'all want to be a part of the show, no problem. Just give us a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Also, you want to be a part of the chat room? Well, great conversations going there as well. No problem. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk, and you're right there. You can join in the conversation there as well. Go ahead. I hear you.
Mr. Talk, you know, we were chatting just before the show started, and I was telling you about my ancient computer.
Uh-huh.
And do you know I talked it up? Now I'm going to have to step away for just a minute because if I don't, I'm going to get feedback because it's talking. It's, you know, the internet is talking and I'm on the phone. So I need to go shut that off. All right. I'll be right back.
Okay. Well, I tell you, technology is a wonderful thing. Except for it gets old after a while and you have to upgrade and just drives you crazy, I'm telling you. So how y'all doing out there today? I hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. You know, I tell you, I'm feeling so good right up now. It's almost dangerous. I'm going to have to call the police on myself. Oh, Lord have mercy. All right. Enough of that. Wesley, I see you on the phone lines. That's right, y'all. It's Soapbox Monday. You know what Soapbox Monday means, right? Right. Whatever you want to talk about. However long you want to talk about. No topic is off limits. It's Soapbox Monday. It's Let's Talk. And that's what we're going to do today. That's right. Man, I got some shows for y'all this week that's coming up. Woo! Starting with tomorrow's show. What is good sex? That's tomorrow's show. So we ain't going to talk about that today. Let's see how. Nah, I'm not even going to say that yet. I know some of y'all can't wait to get to that part. Yeah, you little freaky devils, you. Anyway, so, you know, without further ado, we're going to go on and move on with the show, of course. You know, we got our house rules this Monday, so we're going to go and say them. Act like you're an adult when you call the show. Don't act crazy. Don't be insulting anybody. Don't be calling anyone out of their name. And the most one, there is no use of the N-word. Do not use the N-word on this show because you will get some buckshot. That's not negotiable, okay? I'm going to tell you, that's not negotiable at all. I'm going to put it on you, all right?
Mr. Chalk, I'd like to give a shout-out to some people I see in the chat room. We'll welcome everyone. And I'd like to say greetings to Antoinette and Bible Benny and Dabu and Mr. Allfax.
Oh, Allfax in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wonder what he got under his crawl today, but we're going to find out in a little bit.
All right.
All right. All right, y'all. That was the house rules. Y'all notice it was short and sweet and to the point, right? That's right. Don't call in here acting a fool, and I won't put no buckshot in you. That's all. Or them electrodes. You know, I got them all right here.
Oh,
I'm
going to
find me a bouncer.
Mr. Talk, you're dangerous.
Hey, some of these folk are dangerous when they call in here. They're talking crazy. I have to be ready for them. I do.
Well, I understand. You know, I'm kind of a new kid around BTR, so mm-hmm. I would like to ask you to tell me a little bit about your Soapbox Monday. What's it all about?
Well, Soapbox Monday is basically open conversation. Whatever the caller want to talk about, however long they want to talk, that's what we do. You know?
All right. Okay.
And you know, a lot of times I may start off a story or I let somebody else start off with something, and we just go from there. You know, we just go from there.
Sounds good.
Yeah. It's basically the caller's chance to get on the soapbox and voice their gripes and opinions about whatever going on. You know, no topic is off limits. We cover it all.
Very good.
So that's what Soapbox Monday is all about. Yeah. Oh, they're aware of it. Trust me. They're aware of it. Okay.
Well, why don't you?
Huh? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. No, go right ahead.
No. I was just about to say, Antoinette, I see you on the switchboard, darling. We got to do the quote of the day and the song of the day. And I guess the song of the day, man, y'all got to understand, I'm practicing my DJing skills a little bit deeper now. So we got another double mix for you today. If you was feeling bad, trust me, by the end of these two songs, you'll be feeling pretty good. You want to put on your dancing shoes again.
so you mean I got to get ready to rock the house down again, huh?
Exactly. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
All right. Let it roll.
All right. But first, we got to get the quote of the day in. And here's the quote of the day, ladies and gentlemen. The only real limitation on your abilities is the level of your desires. If you want it badly enough, there are no limits on what you can achieve. And that's by Brian Tracy. Y'all got that? That's the quote. Man, that's a deep quote right there. What you think, co-host?
Well, I think we could talk on that for a while after we get back from the music. Because, you know, I don't think it's a great quote, but wow, you know. I wish it was as easy as it sounds,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know, right? I know. Well, you know, a lot of times they say if it's, you know, hey, if it's easy, it's not worth it, right? That's what a lot
of
people say.
I get the concept, though, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I get the concept.
Okay. All right. N2K, I see you out there, my brother. Welcome, welcome, welcome. All right, y'all. We're going to move on. Without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get this old Monday's mix out the way for you. And if you're feeling down, hopefully this is going to cheer you up a little bit. All right? So without further ado, Here it is, y'all. The Monday Mix.
Thank you.
I needed that. I think I stayed up way too late last night.
I think you stayed up. And I tell you, Lord have mercy. Look, I'm in here just dancing and carrying on. I'm like, yeah, make me remind my younger days when I was more flexible.
Yeah, it's interesting how the music will just take you back to when it was.
Yes, ma'am. Oh. Yes, ma'am. Those were the
I think
days.
I was roller skating. You know, I couldn't get up enough energy to dance this morning.
Oh, okay. yeah, that's right. That was, yeah, you could roll a scale. Yeah, I can see that.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
Yep.
Skate City every Saturday and Sunday night. Yep. I remember that. Woo,
yes,
man, I tell
indeed.
You.
Say, Mr. Talk, what part of Texas are you out of?
I'm out of Central Texas, Fort Hood, Texas.
Is that close to the Alamo?
Oh, that's about 2.5 hours away.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
Not really two. It's more like 1.5, depends on which way you're going, how fast you drive.
Did you see any indicators of the rally they had there at the Alamo this weekend? Did you know about it?
I read it. I saw it. But no, I didn't. No, I didn't see anything.
You didn't see anything in your area, people coming through or anything like that going? A lot of people. Nothing.
No, mm-hmm. Not around here. You know, this is a huge, it's a huge military community. So, you know, if they did quietly.
I see.
most of them getting back to work, so they're not trying to do anything major like that yet anyway.
I've sat down. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, anyway, let me bring Antoinette in. I see she's been waiting patiently, so let's bring this thing in. Miss Antoinette.
Hello, Mr. Talk, and hello, Sister Agonia.
Greetings, Antoinette. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you, and how are you?
I'm good.
Good. Mr. Talk.
Oh, right. Yes, ma'am?
Mr. Talk, a great co-host. You couldn't have got a better person.
You're so sweet.
Hey,
thank you so much. You're making me blush. Stop it.
No, see, I know Sister Agonia, so I know what she has to offer. You just don't know. Y'all are in for a real treat.
Well, thank you again. I'm going to do my best. You're going to have fun.
Well, just stay you.
That's right.
And you're
that's it.
You're just going to shine. You, honestly and truly, y'all are just going to be so enlightened.
Hey, they say
y'all
good
are going
to
get what I got for
speak,
years,
right?
And y'all are going to get it.
It's getting serious on my end here. I'm getting lost for words, girlfriend.
No, well, you know, Sister Gonya, you know how I feel. You know, I'm just so happy for both of y'all.
Well, thank
you. Mr. Talk, this is a great opportunity, you know, that you have to have her. And Sister Agonia, this is a great opportunity for you. I'm, you know, just both of y'all are just going to work together. It's just going to be great.
Well, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's an opportunity to learn and grow, and I'm already getting a challenge, and you know Scorpios love a challenge. Ms. Alfax is saying she says I'm not her friend. Good afternoon, Ms. Alfax.
I don't know if he's referring to me or to you.
No, he's
talking about me. Hold on. Did we say Scorpio? Did we say Scorpio?
Yes.
Oh,
water runs
deep. That explains. Yes, it does.
Sorry?
I am Scorpio also, so yeah.
Oh, my goodness. this is going to be great.
Well,
I'm not a Scorpio.
Well, it's okay. We're not going to hold that against you.
No, I'm an Aquarius, for whatever that's worth.
It's beautiful.
I don't do the zodiac things, but I'm Aquarius, the water barrier.
Yeah.
Well, they're all good. You know, all 12 of them are good. Everybody, each one has its own beauty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we learn from each other.
Yeah, but I just wanted to congratulate you both, and I'm going to sit back and listen.
All right. Well, you know, as we get started, hopefully you'll chime in as well. All right.
All right, I will. I'm going to put myself on mute. I will, Sister Agonia. I will, I promise.
All right, y'all.
Okay, I'm gonna mute myself, okay?
Okay, there you go. Okay. All right, y'all. Here it is. Y'all ready for the show? We're ready. Don't forget, 347-838-8622. You want to get in on it, whatever you want to talk about, however long you want to talk about it, Soapbox Monday, lines are open. Hit us up. Now, for those who didn't know who Brian Tracy was, and, you know, I read his quote today, you know, he's a motivational speaker and an author, and he's the chairman and CEO of Brian Tracy International, specializing in training and development of individuals and organizations. So that's who this cat is, and, you know, we read his a quote of the day. He used one of his quotes as a quote of the day, so that's in case anybody want to look him up. You know what I mean? Y'all can do that. So,
it's wonderful, too, because you can do it just as a touch of a button nowadays.
I know, right? Just so easy. You don't even have to spell it right. That's even
Isn't that
crazy.
The truth? Yes.
Yes, not at all. Oh, Lord have mercy. So what are we talking about first? What we're going to be talking about, the quote, as far as what you need to do?
Well, yeah, you know, I was saying that that's kind of deep, and I get the concept, but it makes it sound so easy, you know. I don't remember the quote exactly, but I remember it was saying something about you can do anything you put your mind to or something like that, paraphrased,
yeah,
right?
Right.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering why I haven't got my $1 million yet. I've been working hard on that one.
Been working hard. Well, see, I can explain that. See, back in the day, we weren't trained and educated well enough to give us the right direction to go. So now we finding out later on in life, so we got to work a little harder to get there. But you know what? Sometimes it's just not meant for us to have that $1 million. That's the way I look at it. You know
You know, that was really – I was joking anyway because that's, you know, that's not really my goal in life. But if I had it, I would give it away anyway. I would just give it away to my family. Yeah, I would, you know, and then I would travel. So when I say that, I say it lightheartedly. I don't, you know, I'm not really sitting here waiting.
Okay.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. But I get it, you know, your intention, your desire, you focus yourself and you just keep moving towards your goals. Basically, that's what you're saying.
But here's the thing about that, now that you bring it up, and I'm thinking, you know, some people have just dedicated their lives to just trying to reach that goal, got this, and they get tunnel vision, but they forget to enjoy themselves in the process. So by the time they reach whatever massive goal or achievement they've been working all their lives for, they have no time to enjoy it because they just have just worked themselves to death. Or, you see what I'm saying? So, you know,
absolutely.
You kind of watch that also.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because since I've been here in Tampa, I happen to meet a very nice gentleman. I'll just call him Ralph. He lives at the complex where my granddaughter lives, and he told me his story. He was very young. He became very successful, and he rose high up in the corporate world. He said he traveled all over the world on private jets and, you know, just was made a lot of money. But now he has what's that disease where you shake? Is that Parkinson's?
Yes.
One where you stop shaking?
Right. Parkinson's.
Yeah, and he said they told him that he was too young, you know, that he that the experience in life that he had was so stressful, and he blew out his nervous system, and he said he lost his family because he was always gone, he was always working, he was enjoying himself, but just exactly what you said, that was his life story that he shared with me.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if I, man, I tell you, that is, oh, my goodness. You said Tampa. Oh, Lord, see, he just keeps getting better and better and better.
Oh, yeah. You like Florida?
I'm from Jacksonville, so, yeah, I like Florida.
Darn. Yeah, I like Tampa. Tampa's a little small city. It's manageable, you know. But there's a lot of surrounding areas, so if you want to venture out, you know, you don't have to get too locked in or bored, you know. Orlando,
right.
South Florida, that kind of thing, a little bit more going on there than there is. Tampa, but it's I like the city.
I've been there quite a few times, so man, it's small world, I tell you, small world.
And I visited your city of Jacksonville too before when I lived in Georgia. I used to go down there to Jacksonville, and I didn't see a whole lot of it, but what I found that I was shocked about, because I've lived up north most of my life, was that all the rich people had all the, you know, all the ocean view. You know, of course, that's pretty typical around the country, though, isn't it? Wherever there's ocean.
Yeah.
And they had a little sliver of a place where the locals could go onto the beach, and I thought that was odd. But that was the first time I had experienced it, so.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why it's odd. It's really very common. I just hadn't seen it before.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, it's, man, I tell you, you know, if it depends on, you drive down the whole coast and you just see different things, and, you know, it's just, it's beautiful, and I mean, it really is, you know. For those that live there, you know, they kind of become accustomed to it, so they don't appreciate it as much as maybe, say, I do, since I live there and don't get there that often, to when I go home, you know, drive down on the beach, just walk and chill out. It's pretty good. It's nice. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so I got that.
So what? So you were telling you went to a play.
Oh, yes, I went to a play in a place called Glen Rose, Texas. And it's called The Promise. And basically what it was is the story of Christ being born all the way up to the crucifixion. I mean, and it's outside amphitheater. And, you know, they had animals, the horses, the goats, I mean, the sheep, and, you know, the jackasses. I mean, they had it all, and it was set up just, and I know one part of it where God was talking to Moses, and, you know, they're talking on stage, and all of a sudden this big voice comes out of nowhere. You know, it kind of shocks you for a hot minute, like, whoa, wait a minute, oh, yeah, we had a play right now, okay.
Oh, you know, my, but they made it really authentic.
Yes, very much so. I mean, and it was, you know, it was wonderful. It really was. It lasted, you know, they did about 12 acts the first half, and then about 9 or 10 acts the second half, but it was really nice. I really enjoyed it. You know,
well,
now,
good.
You know, being I have certain beliefs and, you know, researched, you know, from doing the show about biblical things, you know, certain things I like, yeah, but that really didn't happen. But I like, okay. But for the experience, it was wonderful. You know, it was wonderful. Yeah.
How expensive is something like that?
Well, you know, we only paid $10 because we went together as a church group. So our ticket was
$10. I bet it's $100 if you didn't.
I don't know. They do it every year. This is something that goes on every year.
for about a month. They do the play for a month, so every weekend for a whole month. So I really don't know how much, but if you want to check it out, only thing I do is just Google The Promise, Glen Rose, Texas, and you know, all the information will come up.
All right.
I mean, it's a nice. This is that was my first time going, you know, and I was like, wow. You know, so it was outstanding. It really was.
Are you think you'll make that a tradition now?
Yes, I want to take my son. Yeah, I want to take my son so he can see it, you know, because I think it'd be good. Of course, there'll be questions, but it's all good. You know, I can answer the questions. But I like for him to go and experience, just experience the you know, just to experience it. Period. You know,
how old is he?
The atmosphere. It's really. He's 10 right now. He's 10.
Oh, yeah, that'll be a great experience for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's 10. You know, growing like a weed, but he's 10. He keeps me young without me keeping myself young. But
yeah, we have to work at that, don't we?
Yeah, but he keeps me there. I'm telling you, him and his basketball and everything else he is up to, you know, our monthly trips to Hooters. You know, we got things where we go to Hooters. Yeah, we go to Hooters.
You go to Hooters, okay.
excuse me, Mr. Talk. You
yes,
take
ma'am?
Your 10-year-old son to Hooters?
Yeah. Okay, here's the thing. Who not to take him somewhere where and explain to him the correct way women should be treated than me? I'm his father, right? Instead of letting him go to his old crazy brother, and you know, be talking to him all crazy and what have you. No, so I figured, you know, he likes the food. So hey, let's go.
He likes the food.
You know,
okay, that's what my brothers say too.
Well, yeah,
they like the food.
You know, look at 10. You know, they talk.
I've never been
still,
there.
He's still blush and what have you. You know.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know my brothers go now. If my sons go, they never told me that they went.
No, okay. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know what, and you'd be surprised at the families that actually go in there. I was surprised myself. I mean, you know, women, kids,
All right.
I mean, it's basically, it ain't nothing but really a sports bar. I mean, a sports place, you know, that serves food. Yeah, so it's good. I went to check
online. Okay, so women are not walking around topless.
No.
What am I thinking about then? I'm thinking about the,
I don't know.
Didn't Hooters used to be topless or something?
If they did, I never knew about it. Now, everybody in there got to have pretty decent-sized hoops, you know.
Okay, well, maybe that. I just thought it was something with that. So I guess I'm wrong.
Yeah,
okay, well,
no,
they have to be busty. Bowl.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't take him nowhere where they ain't got no clothes on.
Yeah, that's the reason why I was shocked when you said that. That's why I was like, huh?
Well, I'm not sure, Antoinette. I'm not really sure, but I think when Hooters started off, they might have got a little kind of, you know, different flavor, and then, you know, maybe they changed their image or something. Because I kind of recall having that idea about Hooters. That's why I was shocked when he said, we go to Hooters. So maybe it was just
thank you. At least it's not just me.
No, maybe it's just some bad car or something when it first started off.
Yeah, see, that's what I thought, that it was, you know, that's why I was really shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
now, that's the reason why I said, oh, well, my brothers go there. You know, now if my sons go, they never told me.
Well, unless there's a strip club or something called Hooters, then I don't know nothing about that, though. But I just know about this little place right here.
It wasn't supposed to be a strip club.
You know,
I just thought the women were just topless, and that was just, and I was like, oh, well, why? And then serving food and everything.
Okay.
I said, somebody off. Oh.
You know, and most of them are like college students, you know, working their way towards. In fact, I was talking to one young lady, and she was working on her master's degree. You know, she just needed a job to make a little extra money, and that's what she took. You know, I sit and talk to them. You know, I don't be trying to take them home. Hate to say it, but we got somebody else with their hand up. Let me bring them in real fast. It's a
people. Okay. I really can't tell. All right, 111, welcome to the show. Who do we have on this line?
Good afternoon. How you doing, Nagoni, Mr. Talk, Antoinette? Great
greetings.
Hello,
you guys are having.
All facts. How
pretty
are you?
Good. Pretty good.
Good.
Before I bring up my topic, I wanted to talk about, let's talk about Hooters. We had a local thing here in Baltimore where the mayor school trip. They went down, actually, it was down in Florida, and the convention could not supply the school children with lunch. So the mayor and the other faculty took the kids to Hooters. And it was a big thing in Baltimore. Why do you take the kids to Hooters? You don't take nothing. Man, Hooters is not like that anymore. I mean, you can look at a cheerleader on the football game. They dress just like a cheerleader. There's nothing wrong with that. It's the way some people, things are subjective. You know, it's not a topless bar. I can see how things do that.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Can I ask, Now, was it at one time that way? When they first opened or something? I'm just trying to think where did I get that. That's the way how I always thought that it was.
That's basically what it is. I mean, you have to have big tits, basically. And that's the little catch of the thing. And it's a sports bar for men. But it has expanded since the old time. Hooters is everywhere. It's like, some good food. His son says they got some good wings, they got some good food. But a lot of people in Baltimore was kind of give people slack for that. And I said, come on, man. I mean, the kid didn't have no food. They went on a spare the moment. And why did you take kids to that house? Oh, man. But anyway, guys, I wanted to bring up a topic. Go ahead, Mr. Talk.
You bring kids in there, man, they actually get together and have activities for kids and stuff. So,
exactly.
I mean, it's pretty cool. You know,
right,
plus they got the mom diggity oysters. Can't get oysters, raw oysters nowhere else. I can get them from Hooters, dang it. So.
You put a little hot sauce and lemon on it. You put a little hot sauce and lemon on that thing.
I think I need this hot sauce now. Y'all keep all that extra stuff. Give me a hot sauce.
Oh, come on, man. You got to get it.
Sit on that. I don't need all that. That's a waste of energy.
This is hot sauce, man. I got to have these little squeezes of lemon. But anyway, guys, I wanted to talk about this cyberbullying thing. I think it's a big joke. What do you guys think about that?
I'm not familiar with
this new terminology about cyberbullying.
Not for teenage girls.
Yeah.
Well, not just girls, but boys, when they're young like that, and I know the case that you're referring to where the 12-year-old jumped off the building or something like that because he was being bullied in school, bullied outside of school, and then on the Internet also.
Oh, my. This just happened?
The girls that are going to court for it now the cause of it all on the Internet. And that's just... You know, she's at a sensitive age, 12 years old. They're very sensitive. You know, you're going through things with your body changing, your mind changing, and then, you know, you've got to be sure of yourself. You figure she's getting ready to face going to high school. I mean, that's really a difficult time in life. And then, you know, to be bullied here and bullied there, and then, you know, you get on the Internet and, all this stuff was written about you. I think they said it was on all of the social sites and everything. Those girls were attacking her. I mean, I think that both parents, all of the parents should have been more watchful over their children's Internet use. But nowadays, you really can't because these children can go anywhere to get on the Internet. They can go to the library and do that mess. You know, I mean, so it's really kind of hard. You know, there's cell phones you can get on the Internet, but it's just, you know, the girl was just a really sensitive child, and unfortunately, that's what happened.
You guys grew up like I did. There's a difference. When we grew up, before all this computers, bullies was up close and personal. We had to go in certain environments like school, and, you know, adults get bullied, but we turn that terminology into harassment. You can get harassed on your job and people discard. But that's up close and personal. Now, they're trying to, the sheriff in this case is saying, you know, sticks and stones will make my bone, but names are never heard. And he's saying, well, words do hurt kids, words do this, words do that. And he's not talking about the psychological problem. Now, let me get this straight. Both sides, a bully, they have a psychological problem. If you kill yourself because someone is saying something to you, you also have a psychological problem. I mean, anybody who commits suicide, if you look at the Dr. Kevorkians, he assisted people commit suicide, but they had an illness. So to me, I can say that you have a type of illness if you wanted to try, or you have, you're going through some type of problems. Now, I in my local community, people are saying, well, we need to educate our kids. And hello?
Michael?
Hello?
Michael?
Yeah.
I'm finna make it real easy for you, Michael. That's fine, that's dandy, and all that good stuff. But here's my opinion on this. Number one, they have taken
the word. I haven't even finished with the talk.
You didn't finish? Go ahead. Finish explaining. Go ahead.
I haven't even finished. What
okay,
I'm saying is they're trying to, in my local area here, they're talking about, because people are trying to run for candidates, and they say, oh, we need to go around and start telling our kids about cyberbullying and how this. This is my whole thing about this. I know up close and personal bullying, but cyberbullying is hogwash. I spit on it. Because you know why? Because in order to have cyberbullying, that person must read that message. If someone is bullying me, sending me text message, I have the power them off. I don't have to communicate them electronically. So what I'm saying is they're trying to charge these parents and these girls of committing and taunting this girl. And listen, let me get the facts straight. There was an up close and personal bullying. They suspended the 12 and 14-year-old girls from school. So they're out in the environment. But this girl, Rebecca, and these other people, in order for me to – it has to be a two-way street on cyberbullying. And I'm just saying is that the person who said they're getting bullied cyberly, you control for reading those messages. Because a lot of time when you talk about cyberbullying, it's back and forth, and then when someone gets hurt, then they want to cry, oh, they're bullying me over that. And I'm just saying we need to stop turning this terminology and teach our kids that if you do not want to communicate or hear anybody messages over the Internet, factually, it's a personal device, you can end it. Factually, you can just hit the delete button or end the button. You don't have to hear none of those messages via text anymore. So I think it's a bit of hard work, and we are avoiding the cases how people have a mental disorder and how we let language and words totally control us. We were talking about words before. So I just think it's hogwash, guys. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Now,
Mike, may I say something?
Go ahead.
Mike, now, you know, as I said, the girl was 12. 12 years old for a female, because I can only speak as a female, and what I remember from being 12. You're going through different things, period, just with your body. Now, this child was not only in school, out of school, but on the Internet. It was on her Facebook pages, her MySpace pages, and Instagrams and everything else. So it wasn't like she had to open up messages and read it. It was just, boom, right there. So then imagine not only, you know, did that probably also add to her being bullied more in school, seeing all of these messages, you know, other people seeing these messages written about her on the Internet.
Okay,
all right.
And then if someone had her phone number, they could have been calling her.
No, they're talking about cyber bullying. I'm letting you know that if you were sending me a message. Right.
Michael, understand, this girl was... It wasn't just the cyber messaging. That was probably the last straw. But it was also she was being bullied in school, outside of school, and the Internet.
Okay,
so
but
it was
internet
all three.
Okay.
All right,
the girls were charged for the Internet.
let me jump in here. All right, let me jump in here because I understand what all your, what y'all saying. Number one, here's the thing. The media has taken that word bullying, whether it's cyberbullying, regular bullying, whatever, and just blown it out of proportion to make it seem like it's this big abnormal thing that goes on. All right, number two, society today has made kids so freaking soft, and the parents have taken have lost their backbones and begin to back up all this nonsense the media is putting out there to the kids. We have soft kids now. Now, back in my day, the way you dealt with anybody bullying, whether it was on the phone or whatever, you went and manned up. If you could man up, you got some cousins, some, you know, and you handled that. You know, society today has made children and parents so freaking soft to the point to where anytime you hear the word bullying, everybody gets up in alarm now. Why? It's nothing new. It's nothing that hasn't been going on for eons and decades. So all of a sudden, so technically advanced and politically correct. Now it's this big issue. It's been going on and it's been dealt with. You know, now all of a sudden, you can't do this or that's considered bullying. You can't do that or that's considered bullying. Or as you become an adult, it changes from bullying to harassment. Really?
Yeah.
What, now, personally, I get a cousin. Okay, look, go over there with her and whip his behind. If you can't do it, I know I got another cousin. And we'll handle it, squash it, and it's over with. You know, the best way to handle a bully is bully him back. That's the way I look at it. But we, our kids now, most people have, they're raising them just so soft now, you know, you say the wrong thing, they just break down and cry. I mean, really? What? Really? I'm sorry. Like I said,
now if you fight back physically, you get charged. Remember now, they're charging, you know, children.
Well, you know what? Look,
they're charging them.
Let me tell you a story. My brother, may he rest in peace, we used to go to different schools because I'm a year older, so, you know, I went to the middle school. But anyway, this young man used to bother my brother every day. I mean, every day. And Mom told him, and she rest in peace, too, because I love her to death, both of them. She told him, said, the next time this little boy bother you, pick up the closest thing you can find and knock the snot out of him. Of course, she didn't say that. But anyway, so the next day, the little boy started bothering him. And my brother picked up a pipe that happened to be laying there and busted in his head. Yes, and he drew some blood. But needless to say, once that happened, that little boy didn't bother my brother anymore. Not at all. You know, because the point was made. You know, and, you know, I know society today say you can't do that or you're going to be charged. Well, you know, here's my thing. If my child is right and he defended himself, then okay, I'll pay the fine. But if the message has been put out there that, no, we ain't, he ain't going to be no sensitive, politically correct punk. That's all I'm saying. So, you know, if hey, he stand up for himself and he whip a bully behind, then so be it. I got his back.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm old school, and a lot of people are like, man, you really can't say that. But that's the way I feel.
Can I jump in here for a minute?
Talk.
Go ahead, Antoinette.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sister Ergonia.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Mr. Talk, keep in mind that this was not a melanated child that did this. This was this was not a melanated child.
Uh-huh.
The child that did this was a white child, so, you know, they handle things differently.
Oh, okay. Okay, I guess you have a point there. Okay, I can't even argue with that. You say, you heard me go, okay, I'm leaving that alone. Oh, Lord. Benny says, but what if the child being bullied is severely handicapped and can't fight back? Well, then you're going to get his cousin. Hey, you the parent, you're going to handle it then.
Yeah.
That's all.
But, you know,
they handle
things differently.
You,
in listening to all three of you, I'm sorry, Mr. Talk. Was that you?
Oh no, I'm done. Go ahead. I'm done.
Okay, I was listening to all three of the points that, you know, each of you brought, and I think when Mike started off, I think I don't want to speak for him, but what I got from what he was saying is that you know, the issue is they're regulating and using terms like cyberbullying, which is, you know, a form of thought police. What they're trying to do now, it seems, in this society is regulate everything. I mean, you know, like, for instance, you heard about the children being expelled from school because they made a little gun with their Pop-Tart or something. Like, I mean, it's getting to be ridiculous. So I think that's where Mike was coming from, because he always likes to talk about the issues, you know, affecting society. And then what I hear from Antoinette is she's coming from, you know, a mother, from that perspective, understanding what a child is going through, you know, at that time of development. But then if the so-called legal system or whatever is going to – basically what they've done is stepped in and taken the place of parents. The state has literally stepped in a long time ago. Mm. I mean, this is not new. But I think that's the issue that Mike was raising. Mm. And Antoinette brought a good point, too, when she said that, you know, well, if the child fights back, then they'll be charged. And here in Florida, well, I know you're talking about a case with a child, but the policy here in Florida is if they have a domestic issue and they call the police, everybody going to jail. Everybody, kids, everybody. They're not going to take time to find out who did what. Everybody going to jail. So, you know, it's a problem. Because the state is far into people's lives and dictate, you know, now they want to dictate, you know, how you think, what you say, and so forth and so on.
Yeah, that's a little.
Mm.
And in the case where there's an injured party, because there have been cases like this before. I remember some years back there was a young man who had come out. He was gay, and some of his close friends knew it, and they put it all over the Internet, and he committed suicide. You know, so
right,
I don't know what. Go ahead.
Right, but see, my whole point in Nagonya is, and I want to go back to what Antoinette said about people saying, like, if someone is a rap, because we used to have when Facebook, they call them Facebook gangsters. People used to harass. I can block somebody out. My MySpace page, if they have that, I can block certain people out. I can change my whole MySpace account and give the people who are friends with me just my – I can block everybody out in the world from coming to my certain platforms. And I'm just saying, when you're talking about this quote-unquote cyberbullying, I have to say, oh, what responsibility is the person reading the messages? If you – Nagonya, if you want to keep – if I give you my email address and I see Nagonya and I say, oh, my goodness, she's harassing me, I can block you. And I don't have to never have to worry about you. If you try to come on and if I don't recognize you and you want me to request you, I can deny your request because I don't know you. I'm in control because this is a personal computer, personal devices. Now, real quick, one of the stepmother of the one of the 14-year-old girls that got charged for bullying, she got charged for child abuse because someone taped her beating another person in that house. Now, I'm saying, if she would have beat that 14-year-old girl, like she beat a 10-year-old boy in her house for texting that girl, they would have called her for child abuse. So if the lady would have taken something from her or tried to discipline her, she would have got locked up. So you trying to charge the parents, you know, maybe she would have said, you know what, I'm going to beat your ass if you text that girl again. She texted again. She would have beat her ass. The lady would have went for child abuse. They got the stepmother for child abuse of somebody because another 10-year-old boy that was in the house, same house as that 15-year-old girl, she had to whip his ass. She jumped on his ass. So, I mean, I'm just laughing at the whole thing. My whole thing is just cyberbullying. Keep your kids. We have control. Show your kids what they control on that Internet. That's all I want to say.
Well, I think you very good points. And so based on that feedback, I think I was hearing you correctly when I brought in the fact that the state seems to have well overstepped their boundaries in between parenting, because the issue in this case is the girl was 12 years old, as Antoinette pointed out. So, you know, the state now laws to control what they call cyberbullying is, I think, just another way for them to make revenue. That's all.
Well, we just got another case where a boy shot himself just today. A boy just shot himself, and now his father's saying over cyberbullying again. Just today. Then we got another shooting in Nevada, school shooting today. A student and a faculty member in Vegas got killed. Now they're talking about that was over bullying.
Well, it's obvious that...
Oh, is that what that came down to? That's what that came down to? It was bullying? Because
yeah,
I know it was
yeah,
a adult and a child that got killed, and two boys were in critical condition. Because I plan on talking about that tonight.
Right, but there's another, I think, a middle school kid that actually shot himself, and his father's on TV now saying it was over cyber. But, yeah, so it's two cases, Antoinette. It's two cases today.
I mean,
well,
I know it's one in Nevada that
you're talking about. Cyberbullying.
Yeah,
you know?
But it's this, you know, really, children shouldn't really be on the Internet unsupervised. But as I said, today they can do it anywhere. I know when I was trying to watch my daughter, she would, you know, do different accounts and, you know, go somewhere else and do it and everything else. So it's really hard to curb that. And as strict as I was, trust and believe, you wouldn't have thought anything would have got past me.
That's a good point, Antoinette. You know, but it seems like when you hear the press continue to use the term cyberbullying, and then you and connect it with all these different cases, it's obvious there's an agenda.
Yeah,
you know, they want
the children.
Right.
They want the children. That you know, when you I don't know how far Mr. Talk goes on subjects like this, but when you look at the agendas and you look at what they're doing with, you know, trying to do population control and everything else, you know, they want the children away from the parents.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why they keep them in school.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in school for such a long period of time. They're indoctrinating them through food,
mm-hmm.
through vaccinations, you know, for the curriculum in the school that's dumbing them down.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is to make these children sensitive and, you know, where they don't have any backbone, but they don't want them to have any backbone.
Mm-hmm. And
so
another...
if you're a bully, then you're fitting the system from going from the, you know, school to the prison. You're following exactly along with, you know, everything that the schools do when you look at as far as how they have them line up, how they have them, you know, sitting even when they're eating, you know, the time they got to rush to eat and everything else. And they have to line up and do everything and go on the straight line and sit and, you know, don't speak until you're spoken to. And, you know, so they're training children up to be like this.
You're right.
They're
it's
not giving
nation.
Them any freedom of expression, no freedom to, you know, they're trying to suppress all of that.
Even to the point in Chicago, did you hear about the fact that they made an ordinance that the families now, they are not allowed to send brown bag lunches with their children to school. They have to eat what the school provides, which is probably GMO.
I've heard it. Yes.
So that shows the state is just, you know, has gone.
Trying to take over. And the same food that the children get in the cafeterias in schools is the same food that they feed the prisoners in prison.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes from the same place.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
what are they, you know, what are they doing
their children?
I mean, and things aren't like how it was. All facts, I don't know exactly how old you are. I'm assuming that you're probably in your 40s.
But yeah, 40.
Things aren't,
don't put no years on me, Antoinette.
Oh, well, I'm
near
40. I'm sorry.
Don't, I don't need an extra year on me or nothing.
Don't rush it. I hear you, Mike. Don't rush
That's
it.
All right.
Well, go ahead. Go ahead, Antoinette.
But things aren't how it was. Things aren't how it was back then. I'm older than 40, okay? But things aren't how it was when, you know, I was that age. You know, my baby brother, my youngest brother is 40. Oh, he'll be 42 in a couple of weeks. But they're not how it was even when he was little. And my oldest son, he's 33. So, you know, even from when my son was little, it's a big difference just in the way how children are now and, you know, how they are. You know, how it was then is a big choice. A big choice, Lord, excuse me. A big difference. You know, when we were coming up, our parents had more of an influence, families did. Now, the system has taken so much away from parents that, you know, you either do it, you do it your way and face them coming in and arresting you, like you said with the mother who they took her child because she disciplined her child. You know, and when we were coming up, you could get paddled in school. You know, for somebody to get their behind beat in public, it was nothing. And a store.
Well, the reason why they got them, Antoinette, is because someone in the house had their cell phone and they were taping it. No, I'm just saying the reason why they got the evidence is because somebody taped it, and she, for some reason, that beating was over the Internet. But another thing, this new case of what this teenage or this boy that shot himself, they're not asking the parent, why did your child have a gun? Why did he have a gun to kill himself? They're not talking about it, but now the father's on TV and says, well, the reason why he killed it is cyberbullying. Where is the responsible parent for you to let that child have that gun?
But my father, you know, they're
trying to divert
the
problem.
Mike, how easy
you
is
got
it
to
for
look at it
how
like
to
this.
Get a gun today?
Excuse me?
That's too easy.
How
most
easy is
now.
It for a child
that's
to get a gun today?
Not in my house.
Not in your house that you know of. I mean, understand, not in my house. Well, my children are grown. But I'm saying when they were smaller, not
because
in my house.
Because we don't make it easier. Because we don't make it easier.
No, we don't make it easier. But, Mike, listen. Think about this. Okay? Now, I consider myself a good parent, and I know how I was when it came to my children. I was not a mother to play with. Now, and I'm sure you're a father that you're not one to be toyed with. But we still know, even when we look back at ourselves, that when children want to do something, they can be sneaky enough where they can bring it in and they can hide it, and it can almost be right underneath your nose. And unless you suspect something's going on, you can walk past something a dozen times and never notice it.
Right, but I'm talking about a gun in my house. My children will never get the
guns
in my house. Now, they may get it outside my house. That's different
than
someone else brings it.
But
in my house, they're not going to get no gun out of my house. They're not.
But if you have no reason to think that they have one, you see, if you have no indication to think, oh, my child, you know, they brought a gun in the house, then you're not going to go searching for a gun.
Right. Now, I agree with that. If they bring a gun in my house, that means they got that gun outside of my house. I'm talking about my kids are not going to take a gun in my house and take it outside. No, ain't no way in the house because I control my guns. I have my guns locked
up. Okay, but
my boys haven't even seen my or my. I told Mr. Trump before.
But Michael, understand, they can get this stuff from outside.
I know that. I know that.
And then they can take it outside the house without you knowing it.
My kids cannot, Antoinette. I am in control of my guns. It's a sensitive item. I'm letting you know for a fact.
I understand.
I am in control whether my kids can take my guns.
It's
my kids don't even know my two guns that I have.
But, Mike, I'm not saying that. It's your gun.
I don't even sit down and talk to guns about my kids. I know, but I'm talking about, I'm going to get this straight. I am an owner of two weapons, right, in my house. I'm letting you know for a fact that I am in control whether my kids get those guns or ever see those guns. We even dialogue about the guns. I'm letting you know for a fact. Factually, I'm in control of that. Now, if some people say I can't control that, come on, a gun is a sensitive item. And I am in control whether these boys are going to take my gun that's registered to me and take it out these doors. Now, if they bring something in there, I don't have no control. But I'm letting you know as a parent, I, Michael, control that shit. That's all I wanted to say.
Right, I understand.
They'll
and, Mike, I wasn't saying your guns. I'm saying children can get guns from anywhere. Not in your house. They can go out in the street and get them.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
Or anything else. And
they
can bring it in. You don't know. And that same gun that they brought in, they can take that same gun and go out and do a whole lot of stuff. But you, being a good father, which I don't doubt that you are, don't know that they've done this until you hear about it.
Okay, so if my son shoots, God forbid, if somebody's child shoots himself with somebody else's gun, That parent is going to be held responsible. Where did that gun come from for a child to kill himself if it didn't come from his own parent's house? Where did it come from? And whoever got it, they should go down for that shit.
No, but, Mike, it still goes on you as being the parent. You're still responsible for that child until they become to the age of where they're legal. I mean, that's why I said they take all the rights from parents where you can't discipline your child, you can't do anything to your child to cause them any harm. But when your child does something wrong, then you're held accountable for them.
That is a contradiction.
And you know what?
It is.
But here's the thing. Here's what I want to say. And I don't know about y'all, but I remember when I was a kid, and I just received an email saying the same thing. When I was a kid, I remember there was no my private space. You know, your parents go in the room and go and check your stuff anytime they felt like it, you know? And, you know, Mike has a point, you know, to a certain extent. But, Mike, I don't care if they did bring it in your house. If you spend enough time with your child and you know your child, you can tell when something up, they're not acting right. And I think a part of this side, I do believe a lot of this bullying thing is coming from parents today are not spending time enough with their children to know when their children are not acting right. They'd rather let MTV, their cell phones, their computers, or whatever raise the children instead of them spending enough time with them. Like right now, I can call my child, and I don't care how happy he is, I can say, okay, what's wrong with you? What did you do? You know, because
I can still do that.
Right. And
I can do that. My children are grown. They're grown.
Right. When he comes over here,
but I can still detect in their voice when something's wrong.
Right. I can tell you in a heartbeat. He'll tell you. My daddy said, no doors get closed in this house. And you're right. No doors will be closed because it's my house. You know what I mean? So, no, I go back to saying and what everybody's saying, you know, society just made soft. Now, we know CPS isn't worth anything because we've talked about it on this show before. You know, CPS is all about making money. So the more children they can take from home and place in foster care or adoption, the more money they get from the state, who gets more money for the federal government. So we know what the agenda is. You know, the thing is we need to come up with a concrete way to fight this. I think in the black community, it's not as prevalent, I would say, as others, but, you know, we do have that problem. But, you know, back in the day, your parents tell you, call them. Here go the phone. You know, call them. And
when they told my children, call them. Maybe they'll take you.
Yeah, so I know some cops came to a residence, and they said, okay, ma'am, you can go on and handle it. And they just pulled off and left, you know. So it's just the society and, I guess, the environmental culture that you choose to live in right now. Me, I'm old school. Yeah. My child, no, I'll break him down. I'll break him down. Mm-hmm. He already knows this. So,
I know one time I beat my son in front of a cop.
See, there you go. There you go.
I beat him right in front of the cop.
You know,
and he just looked and he said, well, that's one child we'll never have to worry about. Because I tore him up.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he was showing off in front of his friends or something. And he, you know, what to me, or smacked his lips, or, you know, did something. And I hauled off and popped him. And, you know, then he going to call himself trying to buck up at me or whatever. And I tore him up.
See, and you know what? As parents, that's what we need to do. You know, and you know the other problem is? The other problem, I think, is a lot of parents would rather have the police, the authorities raise their kids instead of them. You know, well, you take them because I can't do anything else with them. I'll be doggone. You stand right there. So you know, back in the day when you get in trouble and your mom be like, come here, and you head toward the bathroom, everybody be like, ooh, because you know what's about to happen. You can't even do that today. You know, some parents can't. Now, I know some others that, they still handle their business. So I don't know. I think it has a lot to do with the gender period of the media politicians, the country, it's just crazy. You know, and if
yeah.
step up and say, okay, enough of this craziness, it's going to continue. It's just that simple.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
Those are my points of view on it.
Yep, it's really something.
What happened? Mike fell off? He got quiet on me. He must be eating. Okay. But, you know, society today is, as Wesley put in the chat room, ladies excuse the language, but pussified. That's all parents are pussified today. They're more concerned with other things than raising their children. You know, the same thing in the military that tickled me. You know, they were stress cars in the military. They used to tickle me so bad. Because I'd be like, I had a couple of soldiers pull one on me, and I'm like, you really think you about to get away with that, right? So I actually showed them what stress was all about. You know, I didn't have to
What's
worry
a
about
stress
it.
Card?
Oh, when you, like, say an NCO is on you or fussing at you, you can pull it out saying he's causing you stress, so you're supposed to stop. You know, yeah. But,
okay.
I never abided by those things. I used to get in trouble all the time. Like, no. No, I don't do that. Look, as we say, I wasn't raised in the military like that, so you're not going to get raised like that. You know, take your punishment like everybody else.
Wow, stress cards. Wow, when an enemy captures you, how can they put stress cards? I mean, you can't get an enemy in certain information, yo. How you going to put a stress card out?
Mike, you just don't know, Mike. You just don't know, Mike.
That was
you
funny,
just don't
man.
Know.
That is funny.
Yeah.
Baby,
I know, right?
It's supposed to be stressful. It's supposed to be. It's made
no.
to be that.
Look,
that's
Mike,
a tradition. Why are you going to put a stress card out?
Mike,
they
want
to see if you can handle it.
I'm talking about even until even when they got on permanent duty, their permanent duty station, they still was trying to use them.
Oh no, that's crazy, man. That's
yeah.
Wow.
Exactly. But I just use that as an example to show, you know, that it's just not on the outside world. It's in the military also. You know, now they got. I'm telling you how then it got to the point to where they don't even have to iron or shine uniforms or shine their boots anymore. So that goes to tells me that just discipline altogether is no longer enforced in this country. Not just military, whatever. Discipline is basically a non-factor because they want the unruly to take charge. Okay, once again, that's my opinion, but that's the way I feel.
Well, that's a good point. And you know what comes to my mind right now is social engineering. So we talk about how the state intercedes in parenting, and if you discipline, you can be charged. So what's the answer? We can see what the problem is.
Well, I was having a discussion last night with Mr. Solution, and I said the lawyers will tell you that the law is not about right or wrong. It's subjective. It changes all the time. It's not about, I mean, math is right or wrong. You can clearly see it. There's no argument whether something right. But law is different. Law is technically is not about right or wrong. It's subjective. And he couldn't understand what I was saying. And I said, and he never could answer my question because he knew I'm right. It's subjective. Even justice is subjective. Some people say if someone kills somebody, they should be in an electric chair. Other people say, well, no. If someone kills somebody, just let them rot in jail. So the law is subjective. It's not actually about right or wrong, factually. But he couldn't understand it. He tried to bypass it. We were talking about the Bible, and I was terminizing. I was literally that. But it's not about right or wrong. Actually, it's not. Because the majority, I mean, the minority of the people may see a law and say it's unfair. That doesn't make that law correct. To the whole
well, you're right because you see, you have people who are in now. There's no injured party. You know, there's no injured party. Nobody was harmed, but there's somebody sitting in jail for 5 years. So that's, you know, that's a point right there where you can see it's not about justice or right or wrong. Obviously.
Yeah, because justice is subjective. Right.
I won't agree with you on that point, but I don't want to argue. I don't want
to
go there.
It has to be. Well, I mean, right, but I mean, let's just go to the death penalty. Some people say if someone kills somebody, it's justice for the state to kill them. And other people say, well, no, it's not right. That's revenge. So let's just let them rot in jail.
Well, okay, you're talking about some people that are saying don't write the laws. Okay, so the law is a special language, you see.
Well, in the state of Maryland, we had the death penalty, and they repealed the death penalty because they said a lot of people were found and not guilty. And then so the whole state of Maryland, the lawmakers said, well, we need to repeal this. So the people did repeal the death penalty laws in the state of Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the DNA tampering and a lot, and especially down in Texas. Texas is the biggest case that they had, 47 cases, like 37 were turned over because a lot of these, you know, quote-unquote black people were wrongly convicted.
Right.
Well,
so
the laws do change.
But my statement was that the people that were making their opinion don't make the law. However, they do, like you just pointed out, have an opportunity sometimes to get the law changed. But, you know, the legal structure is a private copyrighted language, which has nothing to do with morals or values or principles that we talk about like we're talking now. It's, you know, it has an agenda. I keep coming back to that because a social engineering.
But Nagoni, doesn't moral is even subjective to what may be moral for me may not be moral for you. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, I mean, it depends on, you know, your values and your upbringing and where you live and your culture and all that. But we're just
But and it's all throughout the world, values and morals is subjective. If you look at taboo, I look at taboo and I say, wow, that's immoral. Some people may look at this and I say, oh, but that culture says, no, this is not immoral. It's the way we are.
Taboo.
So morality, justice, laws is subjective. It's not math. See, math is right or wrong. We can clearly see, well, that's not right, Nagoni. You added that wrong. You said, oh, okay, and I can prove that to you. That's about right or wrong. But it's so many gray areas because you have a lot of opinions in it. So that's
what. Well, N2K has a good comment in the chat room. He says, in theory, laws should be objective. However, in actual application, laws can be very subjective.
It is, because objective is facts. Objective, you can clearly see what's right or wrong. That doesn't, you know.
But see, the law is.
You have 10 bricks, and I can see you have 9 bricks. You're supposed to have 10 bricks to make this house, and you have 9. So that's, you're wrong. I mean, objectively, I can see that, factually.
Well, legalese is as art of words, or words of art, they say, words of art. I mean, when we read what is written in some statutes, regulations, or whatever you want to call laws, we get one meaning, and it has a different meaning in law than, you know, we talk about law in general, you know, using, common language or, you know, but when you read a contract or when you read a regulation or statute, you know, you're reading it, but it can have several layers of meaning, and it usually does.
Well, I was talking to Mr. Solution last night, and I asked him about, because he's a lawyer, and I said, well, you know, what is the law about right or wrong or what have you, and he says justice. I said, I'm not talking about that, but he wanted to go on. And the only way I get this from is from the Trayvon Martin case. I never knew that the even terminology saying that I thought the law was always right. But the lawyers keep on saying that
Hello? Anybody there?
I'm here. I don't know what happened to Mike.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. I don't know. He must have hit a bad spot. He must be driving again.
Okay.
Yeah.
For anybody that's interested in following that a little further, there's a very good article out on the internet called "The Lawyer's Secret Oath." It's very eye opening.
Oh, that was good. Yeah, that was very good. I remember that.
The Lawyer's Secret Oath.
Check that
out. All right.
Yeah, that was very good. Very enlightening. Yeah.
You know, but a lot of things we put out there now aren't very enlightening. Oh, Lord have mercy.
Oh, that was good.
That was good. So I just got a text that you take the Affordable Care Act, 2,409 pages equals a lot of terminology. Okay. Okay, I don't know what that's about, but I'm sure he'll send it to me again with explanation. Oh, so speaking of that, has anybody had to deal with this Affordable Care Act thing as far as getting health care or anything like that? And if so, what has your experience been? Because, you know, on the mainstream media, you know, like, well, Limbaugh and them crew, you know, everybody keeps saying they've been having problems and all this good stuff. So I'm just curious, has anybody else tried it, and have they had any success with it or what? Anybody know of anybody? Of anybody who know anybody?
Well, I don't know anyone personally, but I did hear of a case where a lady worked I don't know the name of the company she worked for, but she made $46,000 a year, and she inquired applied to find out how much her what do you call it, the deductibles would be, and the deductible was going to be $15,000 a year, and her premium was going to be $500 a month. And so, and they anticipate that the premiums are going to go even higher. So I've been warning my family not to sign up because on Mike Rivera's show, he's a programmer and a webmaster. He said that embedded in that language, it states in there that when you apply, because in Black's Law Dictionary, to apply or application means to beg, and you're actually giving up your rights to privacy, and so they can sell that information to corporations, police departments, whatever. Say, for instance, you go to the hospital because you have a drug overdose, then they can notify the police and so forth and so on. So I see a lot of problems, and I'm warning my family to step back from it for now, because even though, you know, they're threatening that, you know, they can fine you and they can do this if you don't apply for it. But even the computer system, they say right now, it's going to be years before they get the mess all straightened out. I call it Obama scare. And as far as the affordable what did you say? The affordable – say that again.
Affordable care.
Yeah. It's funny how they name things, and they're usually just the opposite for what the name is.
Yeah, Sister Gonya, and Mr. Talk and everyone, remember when they first started talking about it, it was free health care. No one would be denied. So if someone went to free, having a cost, but – I never agreed with it from the beginning. You know, I mean, I agree that people should have health care, but I said if it was, but I was always afraid of what was the cost going to be, you know, as far as what do you give up?
Well, I think what's more frightening is not just what the cost is going to be, but the quality of care you're going to get, because they actuary this thing out. And if you're a certain age, they're looking at what you are contributing to their society versus what they're going to pay out if you fall and break your hip. You're not going to get a hip replacement. You're going to get some pain pills and a cane, honey.
Yeah, you can give you that.
Who you are,
you're
going to get. So basically all they're doing is bringing in socialized medicine, which they say is not very good in the UK.
Yeah, well, Ben Carson has said that the way how he viewed it, the Obamacare is worse than what slavery could be.
I can see that. You know, they decided to call it, it's a tax, according to the Supreme Court.
Yes. So they changed it, and that's the reason why they had to hire more IRS workers.
It's a big mess. That's all I can say.
A whole big mess. Hold on. Let me bring Miss Mays in. Lord help us.
Oh,
all
I
right,
love
Mays.
Hello. I hope the Lord do help
Hello,
you.
Hello, Mays. How are you?
I'm just fine.
Greetings.
I want to talk about the affordable health care. For the people that couldn't get, and I had at one time, that would drop from insurance companies, those people are in line trying to get some affordable health care because they couldn't get none in the first place. And you know what I'm doing? Telling everybody that I know to sign up and get it for that one reason.
Oh.
And then people with children that can stay on their insurance until they're 26, I'm doing that too.
The maze, it doesn't cover everybody. That's the thing.
It's covering some. It doesn't care everybody. It cares some. Just like the people that go to the hospital with no insurance to be in the emergency room, somebody got to take care of that price. So if they could get insurance and they couldn't get it at first, and now they can, they don't have to worry about going to the emergency room anymore. Do they?
It's not that simple,
and that's
Maze.
Enough money too. It is.
Spend any time, Maze, looking into the explanations of what.
I know. I'm not talking about what somebody else said. The Republican talking points. None of that. I'm talking about experiencing somebody that I know, people that I know.
That already signed up for Obamacare.
Yes, and also I know a whole lot of other things that happened with Obamacare. When you got mailman dumping papers in the garbages, well, he got fired for doing it. For dumping, explaining to people that's slow and ain't trying to understand and get no insurance, he threw the stuff in the trash. And then you got the Republicans on the side trying to put an obstacle in the middle.
Oh, well, see,
so
I
don't
even go there.
Kind of people because if they, what do you say?
From the Democrat perspective, I don't even deal with that understand this mess.
I'm dealing with reality. I ain't feeling no Jones, no Washington Post, no Washington Times. I'm dealing with real people. And anybody that I can find to show them how to get there, and you also got people trying to get money out of people's pocket to sign up for the health care bill, and they ain't even a part of it on the Internet. Got to tell them they got to pay money out of their pocket in order to get their insurance. And I told a young lady, no, you don't. And I sent her to the government site, and guess what? Now, she already signed up and ready to pay.
So you're a navigator?
Paying at first. What you say?
Are you a navigator?
No, I'm not a navigator.
You won't work as a navigator? Well,
I do stuff to help people. I'm not against America and things that people need.
Right, you can get paid for it, though.
If you're sitting and watching people going through the emergency
room.
I'm saying, but if you're seeing people going through the emergency room with no insurance, period, young people falling out dead every day, all over the place, or either having
the government will pay you right now.
I don't want them to pay me.
What you're doing right now? I know,
I'm not doing it for
pay. I know you're not doing it for pay, but I'm just saying, if you didn't know what you're doing and pulling people, they call it navigators. Okay,
if
I
wanted to get paid,
I
don't want to get paid.
Okay, Mace, that's all I would just say. I would just bring out information.
Well,
okay,
I'm
all right.
Mace. Some volunteers get paid and some of them don't. So I'm one of those kind that just do it out of kindness of my own heart.
Okay, Mace. All right.
Okay. What?
Mace,
yes.
You know, I had switched jobs, and I didn't have insurance because I had switched jobs and it wasn't that full-time period before my medical insurance would kick in. And I had no insurance. Now, during the time that I had no insurance, waiting for my insurance to kick in, I had an abrupt brain aneurysm. So I had a $105,000 hospital bill, $6,000 helicopter bill, and then another bill from another hospital, and then $8,000 and $10,000 surgeon bills and everything else. But I still got service. I mean, I'm here today.
Right. But Antoinette, I'm glad that you made and recovered from your injuries.
Thank you.
Right. But Antoinette, this is what they were saying. In your case, those bills had to be paid. And since the people
yeah, you paid it. But
okay.
But
Antoinette, I'm not talking about your case. Let's say someone else was like in your case and they couldn't pay it. That bill would trickle down and make people who's working premiums go up because it has to be paid somehow. So even the Republicans tried to reform this way before Obama came. Okay, so just because people say, well, I didn't pay or I didn't have to pay, I know you paid, but some people can't pay it. And those premiums rise. So they had to restructure the whole system. I say again, and I'll always say, the concept is good. I love the concept of universal health care because we're the greatest post-military power in the world. We should have health care, but I'm just saying the bill is a clusterfuck. And that system that they got, they got to realize whoever built that computerized system is a political website. So I'm letting you know now there's a lot of Tea Partiers, there's a lot of Republicans and IT people who do not like that website, and they pinging the hell out of it. They're not telling y'all that. I know that's
what I'm saying. You don't know about that.
They're trying to sabotage that shit.
Right. They sabotage.
I know that because it's a political website. There's people, like almost less than half of this country, that don't like it. So you know they're going to fuck with the system. Man, they pinging the hell out of that motherfucker. But the only thing I'm saying, The people who made that should have known that this is a political site and we have to be ready for all these glitches. And I'm just saying they should have been ready, Mace. That's all.
But
I have
what
no
I'm
problem
saying,
with the healthcare bill. The implementation is not right.
There's a glitch in everything that's not ready at on time. And you fix the
glitches
and you go on.
You
don't have Americans sitting back saying, I'm happy that it's happening. And we're glad so it won't work. You
but
should be wondering why are you glad that it's not working. Not trying to put
Mace,
the loans in the
Mace, you have private companies that take $5 million and they could handle the volume of customers that came in. Something ain't right with this system. That's all
I'm
saying.
Not right. That's what you should be looking at.
The
well,
issue
don't
is
that
the
system because
contract.
They don't like it.
You should be looking at the person
website.
That got the contract to see if they're doing what they're doing. Because you watch bridges being built every day and it takes 10 to 15 years to done.
Well,
and it should have been finished.
Well,
yes, they collect the money. And they change contractors
company.
Every day. So this
foreign
contract is not working.
Foreigners are not the smartest ones in technology.
I'm saying
foreign company are
doing what I'm saying
it.
If you get rid
company.
Of that contract and get another one, they probably can fix it within a month. And everything
oh,
will
yes,
work.
Yes, I know it is. They can.
And if you got something
right.
that they don't want to see it happen, because how many doctors you have sent up there in Congress? They don't want to see it go through because it's going to take money out of their pocket.
A whole
so
lot of
no
doctors.
They're not
early
cap
because
on insurance companies. That's what a cap needs to be, so they won't be going up on people just because they're upset because they're going to lose some money. And some people have gained money. Some people with insurance have got money back. When they were at first, they were putting it out big time.
Go ahead, Antoinette.
And it's like when you say people, like Antoinette said she paid for hers, everybody is not that, blessed to be able to pay for it.
Exactly.
They're stuck with a bill for the rest of their life.
I know I couldn't pay a $100,000 bill. Me making $50,000 a year, I couldn't pay that damn bill.
Because they couldn't have
it.
Insurance. But those that have insurance now, they don't have to worry about being put in that situation anymore.
What were you going to say, Antoinette?
Okay. No disrespect to you, Mays, or...
Oh, no, I don't get upset by your opinion.
No,
opinion.
I mean, let me finish my statement, please. You know, just because you complain about a government does not mean that you hate America. I don't hate America. I don't agree with the government, and I don't agree with everything that the government does, but it doesn't mean that I hate America. I was born here. I've lived in America all my life.
Huh.
You know, I love the land, but I do not agree with everything the government stands for and the things that they do. So there's things
right.
against the government that I do not like,
now.
But I love my country, but I don't have to love my government.
No, you're misunderstanding what I said.
But you
I said
are
you
the
have
government.
The people.
Okay,
I'm just saying.
And y'all.
We are separate from the government.
I got to show the most. Hold on for a minute. Let me bring Les in. Les Jackson in.
Good evening. Good evening. Good afternoon to everybody. You know, here's what baffles me. I am getting so baffled by people that have become so dependent on a government when government was never meant for us to be dependent upon. It's all based upon us. We sit back, we see the glitches that are in the healthcare system computer, and we act as if, I don't know how many of you have websites. I don't know how many of you deal with blog talk radio, but there's even glitches in their system.
Yes.
You know, there's going to be glitches in everything. And as long as we have people that are fighting against each other, remember how long this thing has been going on. Universal health care started way back with Reagan, Gerald Ford. And the only reason they're fighting, and we did get this right, the only reason they're fighting it now is because they're trying to destroy a legacy of this black president. So that we can assure that there won't be another one in there, but nobody wants to say that. You know, we want to sugarcoat it and pamper it down. But in the long run, at the end of the day, government was never intended. What not one government program put in place for you to stay on it and depend upon government.
I have a question.
And then
for you when
we
you're
electing
finished.
These crazy people. Now
can
where
I
is
ask
our
you a
research
question?
Coming in?
Can I ask you a question?
We're putting people in there.
Now, can I ask you a question?
Come on.
Well, if depending upon government, if you got a glitch at the bank when the system go down, nobody runs around and saying that they're happy about it that is not working. They wait until the system come back up and they deal with it. They have glitches every day, just like you said. They have them in hospitals. They have them in banks. And everything that you do and laugh on that computer, you got a glitch. Don't you?
So why do we act like we're
so surprised
about glitches?
I mean, jumping up and down like it's a big, the biggest mistake that they ever made into this country.
But,
instead of
but
being,
why do we
being
do
calm
it?
Until they get the glitch fixed. They don't want
it
fixed.
The reason why we do it is because we become dependent upon them to guide us, and we don't control our own stuff.
Like, I'm not going to depend on because if my bank go down,
control
whatever.
Your own stuff, and you can control your own stuff.
Really?
Yeah, you control your own destiny. Don't nobody tell you what to do. You
We're not talking about destiny.
Do.
We're talking about everything that's computerized. If you want to go get your passport made and the system is down, you can't get it made to go nowhere. You're going to have to sit there until they get it fixed.
But how many
you
times
ain't
is that going
to
happen
realistically?
I mean, let's not talk fictitious. Let's not talk
imaginary
and
delusional stuff. I'm just telling you for real. You got to deal with
it. How many times does that happen? I have a passport.
Every
it's
day.
Up to date until 2035. Okay.
And also, they also got
I don't care if the computer go down. Anything can go down if it wants to. If I'm not traveling,
if
I'm sitting in the United States,
I
don't have to worry about the computer when it went down. But if I'm abroad,
okay, wait a minute.
We need to talk about this. Hold on. We need to talk about it. Listen, people said Obamacare affects everybody in this nation. For someone to say that the government doesn't affect us, that's a lie. Stop saying that. You got a military
You know what?
Defense.
The government doesn't affect
everybody.
You.
Everybody. Yes, it does. You're
Mike,
part of it. Listen.
Watch this,
if
Mike.
The government
we have
doesn't
allowed
affect
the
you,
government
that,
to play
right.
more part
if
in our life than what the government does.
You, who,
see, we give
the
government more credit.
If the government does not affect you. And
we give the government
more
credit.
When
are we going to control our own self?
You
your own government.
When you have
to vote,
you don't have to pay taxes and all of that stuff. So
when
you don't pay your taxes,
yourself?
They're going to
That's what I
want
to ask. That's the question I want to ask everybody right now.
That's
when you going to learn to govern yourself?
Who are we talking to?
Where's the man who we talking to?
I'm just saying, who is this talking? I don't know.
This
who
is
I'm
Les.
Talking.
This is Les.
Oh, I figured
this
that was.
I mean, I don't know. What you mean? Who are we talking to?
I just
want to
know when
I'm talking to.
I just
want to know who
I'm talking
to. I'm talking to
that. We
are
a government.
My question is this.
Go ahead.
I got a question. I keep hearing this one word, and I'm trying to figure out. Y'all keep saying universal health care.
But it's
not. Nobody, only one's word that's trying to get health care now is us. It's not universal. So, I mean,
if they
where
had
that
universal
health care,
we would be just like out of other countries with the same health care.
And this is why we
that's
need to be universal
for a minute.
Yeah,
we need to clarify something. We need to have a show, Mr. Talk. You need to have a show. I need to have it. What is the government? We need to, because people are saying this word government, and they have no clear picture of what it is. Unless you're saying you don't depend on the government, what about the military? Is it defending you now? They're part of the government. You say you don't have to worry about it. You
I don't have to depend on the government.
Who are you paying the taxes? Listen to me. Who are you paying your taxes to, the government? Listen,
you
well, collectively.
Taxes to the government, but I don't depend on them to make my wealth.
See,
oh,
no,
I can understand the rule. Watch it, watch it. Universal law says, give tribute to Caesar what is Caesar's, and take unto yourself what is yours.
That's what the Bible says. No.
Watch this. No, it was a common fact because that's what they did back then in history, and it was because of government. We want to talk about it was the Bible. It was history. It was fact. Do we talk about these facts? Do we really know the facts?
Okay.
Do we really
want
to sit back? Let's sit back. When are we going to sit back?
Man,
and the reason I say universal, and the reason why I say universal health care, and this is why I say that, because actually it's the Affordable Health Care Act.
They don't understand.
Right.
Look, the only reason I say universal health care is because that was the original statement. Or the original program that was supposed to be introduced.
Let me ask you something. When I open up a business, Les, if I open up a business, let's say if I have a skincare product, don't I have to worry about the government?
No.
When I have a product.
No, you don't have to worry about the government. The only thing you have to do is register your name and do the guidelines that you set for.
On my skincare, he's a liar. Les, don't lie. I guarantee you that there's going to be some regulations on the labels that I have to have on my bottle, my skincare product. I guarantee
you. I don't want you selling me lies. I don't want you putting acid in your product and rubbing it on my face.
You're a businessman, Les.
Have you ever studied the way shady businesses, these little nightshade jokers used to come by? You remember the medicine man? They used to have the medicine traveling show.
They got lost for that now.
Sell you liquor. Wait, he would sell you liquor and tell you this is an elixir that will heal your arthritis. It will heal everything, and they come to find out all it was alcohol.
Yeah.
Okay.
But now they have,
so now
they have rules and regulations.
That's all I'm
for
saying.
That now.
You have to have some type of regulation. There's no such thing as a life without regulation.
Well, that's government.
You regulate your own self.
No, you don't.
Let me jump in here for a minute.
Your ass is regulate what you do. You got your ass on all the words for you to
and
do something that deals with the body of the person.
That
because
you won't
you
even cross.
If you give
excuse me, y'all. Let me jump in here for a minute and read it.
Who made the regulation, Les? Who made
Mike,
the
let me read a comment in here for you guys. Leslie Boyd is saying the slaves were insured by Lords of London and Aetna and New York Life. And you see, this bill is 10,500 pages, so we can all argue with each other about what's in it, but none of us don't know. And if we do know this, the insurance companies and the pharmaceutical companies wrote it. Congressmen didn't write it. The corporations that are going to benefit from it. So we're not talking about the quality of care we're going to get. And I don't think it's right to uphold something just because we want to talk about we have a black president, because in my view, it's not about black and white. It's about wrong and right. And this bill is screwed, and we're going to be all screwed by it.
Okay, let me ask you this. What have you done? What research have you done to prove to me that this bill is screwed? Most countries have an affordable health care bill.
And
it's just like most countries have a bill where they at least feed their people. And here it is, we claim we're the richest country in the world.
Are you going to let me answer the question, or are you going to make a speech?
No, I'm not making a speech.
Let me ask you a question, Les.
Can I give the Affordable Care Act
or any of it. I've done a little bit of looking into it and listening to the pros and the cons on what the thing is going to do. And I mentioned earlier, before you spoke, don't know if you heard me or not, that this thing is all actuaried out. Based on what you give back to society is going to be determining, you know, your age, whether you need a heart transplant, or so forth and so on. It's not going to be equal for everybody. Rich people are going to get all the good stuff. And, common people are not going to be given the same treatment. And as a matter of fact, Congress is not even going to have anything.
Go ahead, Angoya. I got it. I fixed it. Go ahead. So
thank you. I was just trying to say that Congress is not even going to be getting the same care from this policy as the common people. So that ought to tell you, that ought to be a red flag right there. If it's good enough, if it's not good enough for them, why should we be so quick to say it's going to work for us? I mean, that ought to be a clue right there to look a little deeper into what's going on. That's all I wanted to say.
The rest of his life, from the time he gets elected into the Senate or the House of Representatives on the federal level, okay, they have bodyguards for the rest of their lives that you're going to pay for whether you like it or not.
Or not. They will take care of the rest of their lives.
Here's the thing,
that you are paying.
Like when they did the government shutdown, right? Here's the question I would like the people to ask them. What they should have asked them and should have been on them saying, look, why are you talking about furloughing and downgrading everybody else and laying them off? Why don't we stop your health care? Why don't we stop your paycheck? Why don't we stop you from making your money? But we didn't ask that. Oh, it's happy-go-lucky. Go ahead, keep on dogging us. We'll keep on getting screwed because we don't care about getting screwed. We love it. We love it. We love this drama. We don't like the truth. We don't want the truth. We want to live this lie. They will never. It would never be a thing where if I got $100,000 and I can afford $100,000 worth of health care, that's what I'm gonna get. That don't mean you can't get $100,000.
Like everybody had to have car insurance, and if you got a car, you got to have car insurance in order to have that car on the road you're supposed to. And if you,
exactly.
if you have an accident or you hit the police stop you, you're going to get a ticket for not having that. So I don't know why people keep having all kind of fits about the hair care, and then it's got to come out of their taxes. Which is
because
going
of the quality.
When they got your privacy left in you. They know everything you do.
Listen.
It's the quality of care.
Obamacare affects everybody in America. If you say, oh, I want to vote Obamacare, it affects you. You're paying tax. If you're a businessman, it affects you. What I'm saying is when you have regulations, you're talking about a collective group of people which
but
you elect.
But you don't always have regulations, Mr. Talk.
Well,
all
you
that,
what now?
You're going to always have
what?
Regulations. You regulate
your
own business. That's why I
have
bylaws.
Who made
I got bylaws in my corporation.
Okay, now
I got
now,
certain
I'm
laws
you.
That people
okay.
have to abide by in order to
okay.
be partakers
now,
in my organization.
Now, what is this?
Watch it.
Can I tell
you what
you're
talking about? We act like there shouldn't be anything like regulations and laws. You've been governed in law all your life.
All right, wait. Dang it, everybody cannot at one time. Good Lord. Come on, y'all. Y'all know better than that. Come on now. We got Les at full speed. We got Michael trying to talk over him. Then we got Maze cutting in. Really? And I can't hear any of it. I don't understand nothing that y'all saying.
Okay, Mr. Talk.
All right. Go ahead, Maze.
The health care that you get since you retire as a retiree. Is the same thing that most of the people up there in Congress and place get. Is it or is it not?
No, it's not.
It's not? Is it
no.
close to it? Is it
hell
close to what
no.
they get? Okay.
No.
But the health care you got, would you want to trade it for something else? I mean, for what
but
you
no.
pay for it? Okay.
But no, because I don't pay for mine. I done paid for mine the last 21
uh-huh.
years of my life, so no. No.
Mm-hmm, okay.
No, I don't.
So that's more like universal care.
Your point is
it like, it's just like Medicare. Those people don't have to, they have to pay a certain amount. They're not even involved in the whole situation. A whole lot of them running around here screaming, hollering, I don't want this to be done. But they ain't even involved in it in the first place.
Well, Maze,
they already got their health care.
Maze, that's not exactly accurate. Let me tell you why. Because I've heard that they've written something in the Affordable Care Act that states that the insurance companies which supplement people with Medicare can now drop your policy. For instance, I have Blue Cross Blue Shield as a supplementary insurance, and now they can drop me, and then I won't have any choice but be forced into Obamacare.
Where do I find that at so I can look at it?
I don't know. I called my union steward.
Okay, that's why I want to know where I can find it so I can look at it. I don't want to hear nothing about the Washington Post and all of those different people. They're just people just like me putting articles in paper. People
well,
just
Maze,
like me.
You know what? Maze,
I just
Maze,
ask where can I find
wait a minute,
it?
Maze.
No point.
Maze, you know what? You can always go and look it up yourself. Go and look it
Mr.
up yourself.
Talk.
I'm sure you can pull up all that paperwork.
I asked where you find it.
Go to the Affordable Health Care Act bill, and you can read the same thing that Congress read if you want to read through all 465 pages. Just like they have, and you will see there can always be loopholes. That's all I'm saying.
You can go to Black Health TV and get a better understanding in the healthcare bill than you can out of that 1,014
page.
Watch
it. But watch.
Okay,
them
465
is the real deal of what they...
You know what? All right, y'all just want to keep talking over each other, no problem. I talk over all of you. Y'all forget I got controls. Anyway, as I was saying... Maze, you just sat here and said, where can you find it at? Somebody just told you. Then you say, well, go to this page. Well, Maze, wouldn't it be common sense if somebody says go to affordablecareact.com or wherever he said go, and that's where you can find the original document? Why not go and read it and get your own understanding? See, once again, we're trying, you know, we arguing about this thing, but I'm not going to lie. I haven't sat there and read all the pages because basically, you know, if I read it, I probably wouldn't understand most of it anyway. I'm be honest with you. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? But
well, no one understands it. Not even them, Mr. Talk. You're not alone. You're not alone. The politicians don't even understand it.
But
it's 20-some thousand pages, not 400.
Okay, we're arguing over something, but none of us have taken the time to really sit down and read it and try and get an understanding about it. We just know what's going on. Now, personally, I already know. I don't have to worry about it because I got VA, okay, for what's that worth. I don't have to worry about it. But those out there that do, you know, yeah, it may be an issue. Now, it's, you know, I have a daughter that's 23 years old. You know the catch on that is? She still has to be in school. Well, she decided to take a vacation or semester off. I can no longer carry her on my insurance. You know, so it's little things like that personally, you know, I don't agree with. But some parents, yes, they probably do need. And the biggest thing I want to see is a health care bill that will really be affordable, number one, and really accept individuals with pre-existing conditions that are caused naturally, not something that they created on their own. You understand my point of view on it. But I don't think this is it because it has too many glitches like everything else it's going to have. And I think that's the biggest argument that everybody's had, and nobody's taking the time to sit back and say, anything that comes out new is never perfect when it first come out. Even the computers that come out, the different operating systems that come out, they never work the first time. So it's going to take some tinkering here, some understanding there, and some of this here to get it fixed. But yet, we are so intent on wanting everything to work right the first time, we're not doing it. I mean, we rather fuss and complain about it, but honestly, what are we really going to do about it? It's a law now. So what are we going to do?
Mr. Talk, a lot of the states are fighting.
Here's
what we're going to do.
For calling me Mr. Solution. Go ahead.
And you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sit back and do the same thing we've been doing, crying, complaining, and not doing nothing about it. Because we're going to keep putting the same people back in there. When we know they're not for us in the first place, but we just get so happy. We get so emotional. This thing ain't about emotions. It's not about emotions. It's about sitting back and saying, Mr. Talk, what is it going to be to better? Can I better my life? And until we start standing up, that's why them people over there in China and Israel and all over there, the protest the way they do. You know
they
when
got
something
go
wrong and it's the government fault, them folks stick to the masses. You can't even get 200 people to a rally here in America unless it's a million-man march that you're going to forget about the next day. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, unfortunately...
All right, now,
go ahead, Mr. Talk.
No, I was going to say you had something to say that you kind of got talked over. So go ahead and...
Yeah, what I was thinking about was that some of the states are trying to push back on the Obamacare, and unfortunately what it's done is a lot of these companies now where people had 40 hours a week jobs, in order for them not to have to take out for Obamacare, they're cutting people's hours down to 30 hours a week. So, see, again, that's another thing that's hurting people.
I heard something the other day, and that was what the argument was that people were trying. That was a falsehood that people were throwing out there. There's not that many people that are cutting back because, actually, believe it or not, it costs you more people. It costs you more money as a company to have people on a part-time base if you have them in a mass force than it will to sit back and pay for the health care. Because they're going to actually be paying for the health care. See, the Republicans are trying to tell you that this is going to hurt the old rich white folk.
I don't deal with left-right paradigm. That's not the way I think and through things. I don't approach things from that perspective.
We say we don't, but we do.
I don't.
Okay. If you don't, God bless you. But
don't get anywhere with
that. Whether we like it or not.
Divide the people to argue one point of view versus the other point of view. Then you get off on arguing and defending your party, and then you never get off the subject. You don't even get any understanding about
the fact. I brought up a fact of working and sitting back and saying that it's cheaper for me to keep full-time employees than it is for me to hire double the amount of part-time employees.
That's your opinion, and there's another opinion, and some companies are acting on the other opinion. They're laying off, they're reducing the hours of their employees down to 30 hours. Some small companies, because they can't afford to give the Obamacare coverage to their employees.
Mr. Talk,
they've been doing that before Obama, before Affordable Health Care Act even came in place. We've been in a recession long before Obamacare. Now everybody want to blame it on Obamacare. It's not Obamacare. It's the way of the world. It's technology. Technology is actually what's taking over. It's not so much that we don't need people. We almost don't need people anymore. Businesses are getting where they really don't need a whole bunch of labor. We need mental people that think. Think about it. Just think about it. Technology is taking over now. We're in a new age. We're no longer in a physical age where they demand slave labor.
That's correct.
And it hasn't been that way for years.
What we were talking about the Obamacare and how screwed up it is and how it's going to hurt people.
But it's not going to hurt you. It's not going to hurt you.
I just gave you an example where it could hurt me. If I'm dropped by my Blue Cross Blue Shield, I'll be forced onto the Obamacare.
Watch this. Your Blue Cross and Blue Shield will not drop you. Call them. Ask them.
Listen, sir,
I need to call
and got the information I just shared with you.
You called them and they told you you may be dropped. You may be. Didn't say you would be. It says you may be. But did you call back and talk to an actual physical person?
Let me repeat myself.
You didn't get this to be dropped.
Let me repeat myself since you didn't get what I was saying.
The language. I understand exactly what I just said.
Which
you're not going to answer.
You want to argue. I don't want to argue.
I'm
so
not arguing
go right
with
ahead.
You, but I just understand what you're not going to argue. You're not going to answer that.
Somebody
because
else
you didn't do it.
Not into arguing.
That's not arguing.
I think
it's
so.
Just making a statement.
All right. Hold on. All right, hold on, Les. Let me bring up Ebony. She's in the UK, so maybe she can put a little perspective on this because I think they do have nationwide health care. So let me bring her in. Ebony, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Greetings, Ebony.
Hello, Ebony.
Greetings to you. Hi, Maze. How you doing?
Back to round three of the health care bill. Explain
yeah,
it, please.
I'm hearing the ladies representing. I hear you guys representing. I think it's interesting. You got the bill sounds very complicated because nobody seems to understand it. I don't know. I don't know if it's anything like what we have because your stuff is based on private health insurance health insurance, which we don't really have except for those people who are rich enough to afford private health care. So it's a different kind of comparison. I suppose, in a way, he's trying to create something that's a bit like the National Health Service, which we have, but kind of making it open for all. I don't know enough about it to really comment. All I can say is anything that allows, people who are on a low income, anybody to have access to healthcare, has got to be a good thing at some level. I know people are worried about the small print, but what we have here in the UK is a health service that anybody can enjoy. Even the rich use it because it is a really good standard of health care. So, if it creates something like that, then there's a chance that, a lot of people benefit. But you guys will know more about the small print than I do. But
so
I have to say hi.
Ebony, I wanted to ask you if you are saying that your overall system works good for the majority of people. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it does. It really does.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, and you find that there are well-off people, depending on what your illness is and what it is you're suffering from, who use their national health system and go and have their babies in a normal hospital, depending on who they are, because the standard in some areas is extremely high. Mm-hmm. And what you find is that the people who go to private pay, often it's the same doctors that come out of the national health system who want to earn extra money who go and work on them. And I'm like, if they spent all day, you know, kind of being a surgeon, cutting people up on national health, and they're going to come and do some work on me after hours, I don't think I want it, you know, even if I'm paying my money, because you've got some tired hands there, right? So, you know, people do respect the fact that we pay our taxes, and our taxes go into providing health care that's open to everybody.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you're describing two separate systems running side by side. Am I getting that right?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
That's right.
So maybe what we're going through right now is the chaos of a changeover trying to get to a system where that would cover majority of people and still have the private side like you're describing. Maybe that's what we're going through now.
Yeah, maybe that's where it's going. I mean, at some point, it will be about how much money you've got. And I guess in your system, if people have the money, they can get what they want. You know, here you can't do cosmetic surgery on the national service, only if you can prove that it's a real damage to, it's really mentally going to damage you, then you get the right to get some of the things cosmetically that you guys would normally pay for, right? So there are things that you could have done, like breast reductions or you know, because it's a health hazard for you.
Yeah.
It could
your
be done here.
Your insurance company have to approve stuff like that.
Yes, we can.
Yeah, not because
approve.
You have
private
the insurance, doctor, but the company have to with the old
no, your doctor would
private.
Have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, your doctor would have to show that, you know, there's been a history of stress and illness caused by that particular cosmetic thing that you need doing, and if it didn't change, you know, your life would not be the same. So, you know, that's how you get past that. But it still is a waiting list for some operations. We're much better with waiting lists now than we were. It is a system where if, you know, for example, you've got a problem with your eye, your foot, whatever, you ring a number, you book it in, you get seen. The government has deadlines for and targets set for the time that you should wait. So you shouldn't wait more than about a month to have an operation done. And if it's something like cancer, you can go to other areas and choose other areas where you can get care quicker. So where the lists are shorter, you can go online and find those places and be seen very quickly, depending on what it is you need doing.
And it's called universal health care that they wanted to have in the first place.
Yeah. Well, this health care system has been in place in this country for well over 50 years. The national health
service. This is the only country that don't have it.
Sorry?
This is the only country that don't have it.
Yeah,
everybody else
Canada has it.
Because all of the doctors are making money off of it and the insurance companies are making money off. And those are the biggest people that's in the way.
And really, why should healthcare be so so expensive? And why should it be that if you don't have insurance, you don't get seen? Because I've heard people get sick in America and they have to fly home because they don't have the insurance. They can't pay and no one will look at them. Whereas here, if you came to this country and you got sick, and my friend was just telling me today in work that his sister came over from America and she didn't even get the travel insurance. She didn't book it, although she should have. But, you know, she said she just thought, I'm not even bothering with the travel insurance. She got sick on the plane. When she got here, she had to be taken straight to hospital. She spent nearly 4 weeks in hospital. She didn't get charged a cent. She got her treatment completely free and came out of hospital and managed to get back on a plane and go home. Now, that probably couldn't happen in America. You could not go to America without your travel insurance and be seen in that country. Don't matter if you're comatized, whatever. You know, they're going to be waiting for your money. Whereas here, we don't, you know, that's how good the system is here, that she could get off a plane, be treated, and no one's asked her for a dollar, you know, or a pound. She has managed to get back on a plane and go home and got all that treatment for free.
Well, Ebony, what happened in this country, it used to be that way where they had state laws where if you went to a hospital, they had to treat you. But George W. Bush rewrote the law, and that's what happened. And they no longer have to treat you in an emergency room. They give you a little aspirin and send you home. If you don't have an insurance, they can bill.
Yeah.
They have a call, they have a thing called the Hill-Burton Law. That's the law that's in this country. If you go to an emergency room and you don't have the money to pay, the Hill-Burton Law takes care of it.
And George W. reversed that law, is what I just said.
It's still in effect. People
okay,
May. I know somebody used it last month.
All right, hold on. I got Tyrone on the line.
Am I muted, guys?
Hey! God dang it, hold on. Let me let Tyrone talk. All right. No, you're not. Go ahead, Tyrone.
I want to remind everybody that George W. Bush was the worst president till Obama ever.
Oh, please.
And now we got this Obamacare. I'm going to have to buy that. I got to buy insurance.
Will you let him talk?
By law. What next? I got to buy diapers by law, even though I don't need no diapers. They're going to make it a mandatory product that I got to buy.
Is this Norm?
Your house insurance is mandatory, and your car insurance is too. So what are you talking about?
Well, sir, it's mandatory that you're going to get old. You're young and healthy now, but it's mandatory as a fact that all of us on this phone is going to have an illness before we die. Or some type of 90% of us. Most of us won't die in our sleep. We'll have aches and pains before we die. So you're going to have to get treated. And I'm just saying, good George Bush, they tried to restructure this when he was even in office, sir. Because it's a medical problem for someone to go in and get treated, and they don't have insurance. It's going to trickle down to the people who have insurance. Their premiums are going to go up. That's why the Republicans try to restructure it.
That is a logical fallacy, because every time I go to the doctor, I pay cash.
You don't even go to the doctor. Who do you think?
That's what I'm saying. I don't need to go often, but when I go, I pay cash, and it works out better for me than having to pay untold hundreds of dollars every month.
The only people who go to
you have to understand this. Under this, Affordable Health Care Act, everybody is not going, it's not mandatory everybody has health insurance. Okay, so let's stop telling that lie. That's the first lie. Let's stop telling that lie, because they've already said that probably 20 to 30% of the people will still not have to sit back and even meet the criteria to do it. Okay, so let's not get all flustered. Let's give it a chance. We're shooting this down because other people have sat back and they've given us their opinions, and ain't nobody looked into the actual opinion for themselves. Everybody just shooting it down, and it's like they said, we will all get sick one day. You gonna need health care.
Okay. Ma'am.
Now, on that note, I'm going to mute myself and I'm going to enjoy my grandbaby that has health care, and I'm going to sit back and enjoy the ride of watching her goo-goo and gaga. I'll talk to everybody later. Great show, man.
All right, Les.
Ma'am, I ain't never used no Google, but I don't want to be forced to buy no health care for me and for somebody who ain't even working. You see what I'm saying?
Tyrone, do you have health care
next?
He got one of those voice machines.
No.
He don't know his voice is coming out. Some people can clear through that voice machine and know who we're talking to.
I thought that's what it was.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what
it don't matter.
Trying to disguise his voice.
You talking
about
me?
Okay, but still, the point is this.
No,
do they have health care right now?
No.
They say you got a voice machine. They say you're on a voice machine, man.
Man, that's crazy, man. They say
you got something calling your throat.
Check this out.
You need to go to the hospital if you got something calling your throat.
Oh, Lord. Hey, Pat, you know it's a voice machine.
Oh, Lord.
Huh?
I know you got the whole thing, what are they gonna have you buy mandatory next?
Do you have car insurance?
I do.
Well then, is it mandatory?
If you drive, you complaining about nothing. Not the same thing, man. It is the same thing.
And it's not.
If you don't drive, you don't buy it.
I have a car. I want to drive it. You're not going to buy a vehicle. Someone hit her, a truck hit her car,
and he tried to run away, and he looked at her. She said, you don't got insurance, do you? He said, no. And he tried to ball out. She chased his ass down, got his tag number. You know, police said she couldn't have did that. But it was a case where the guy didn't have insurance. Now he's going to be a hit and run, going to go to jail, all because he didn't have insurance. You need insurance. You need car insurance. You need car insurance because something's going to happen.
If you're going to drive. But what if you don't need to go to the doctor? What if you don't need to go to the doctor for 15 years?
Because eventually you will go to the doctor.
All right. By that same logic, babies should start paying for driving insurance as soon as they're born.
Babies don't drive.
Because eventually they're going to.
They will.
It makes no sense.
We're talking about car insurance. We're talking about the similarities.
It's mandatory.
Let's talk about the similarities from car insurance and health insurance.
Okay.
It's an insurance.
And fire insurance and all other kinds of mandatory insurance that you have to have.
Right. It's a safeguard. That's what it is. That's what insurance is. Now, you want to talk about the business.
But what if you don't drive? What if you don't drive?
Well, you don't have to worry about it.
If you don't drive, you don't have to have no driver's registration.
What if you don't have to go to the doctor either?
What do you mean you don't have to? See, listen, eventually you will, though.
Okay, then babies should pay for car insurance. That's what you're saying. Because eventually they will drive. See what I'm saying?
All right. I don't know what all that is about, that old donkey thing. It's not me hitting it, y'all, because y'all know I got one too, but it's not me hitting it. But anyway, look, I have listened to all sides. Now, I listened to the different, you know, analogies or whatever y'all want, similarities everybody tried to come up with. And sitting here thinking, this the best I can come up with. You know, everybody want to use car insurance or you're going to get sick and what have you. The bottom line is, it's your choice. You know, even though they say it's mandatory, okay, it's still your choice. Now, being your choice. You know, if it becomes to the point to where it's completely mandatory and you're supposed to get it, just like car insurance. And I'm using the same scenarios y'all using. Most states, car insurance is mandatory, at least liability. But people choose not to do it, whether they can't afford it or they just don't want to have it. Well, there's consequences. Okay? Now, your choice. You can go on and try and get type of health care now and be covered for what may happen later on in life or, you know, car insurance for who may run into you or who you might run into. That's fine. Or it's your choice not to. And then if you have an accident, what have you, then you pay the consequences of whether you got to pay for somebody else's car to be fixed, pay for your own to be fixed or what have you. Or you pay for your own health care and the IRS take out money out they're going to take or what have you. But the bottom line, people, it's a choice. It is just a choice. Now, the other thing about this choice is, everybody looking at it from a now perspective, which is good because everybody think about now. But some good points were made. Eventually, You're going to get become ill. Now, some of you are financially able to, when you get sick, to go ahead and pay cash and get the treatment you need. But everyone is not fortunate. And there's going to be some instances where you may not have what it needs to pay for your health care as well. So I think before we really start saying it's good, it's bad, it's ugly, or whatever, basically do your research and make your own decision. And we say this all the time on the show. Research is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. You know, that way you have a better understanding. And Maine said it. Stop relying on this website. And go to the official website where the paperwork is. Read it and come up with a conclusion. If you got to Google every other word, then Google every other word till you get understanding and know exactly what you're dealing with. Because we go round and round and round and round. Change comes, and people oppose change. We know this. It's like that as far as human nature. It's like that in corporations. It's like that in life. So this is no different. It's not. Now, the question is, are, you know, we going to sit here and just argue and say it's no good or it's good and not put in the work to find out exactly what it's about? Are, then there's someone's going to really get into it and see exactly what it is so we can make the right decision as far as our lives are concerned. I can't say what's out there for the rest of y'all, but I have to make the choice based on what my life is going to be like, hopefully.
Well, Mr.
You know,
Talk,
what I got to say about it. Yes, ma'am.
I want to say something to Michelle. She made a comment in the chat room and says, similarly, I'm happy to pay for the disability insurance scheme because I may find myself in that position one day. People with disabilities struggle with the cost of things. Now, we don't even have to go there. I want to say that I would like to see everyone have health care. I would like to see everyone enjoy the abundance that's provided to us by the creator of all there is. But the problem is it's not distributed equally, and my issue with Obamacare is what I call it, is that the people that are presenting it for us have shown us over and over again they don't care about our quality. We have a stratified society here in America. If it was, you know, a perfect world, then I would say, wonderful, you know, let's take care of everybody. But this is, America is not set up that way. It's a stratified society. Basically, it's a caste society. It's what it is. And so the insurance that they're giving us, the congressmen won't even be subject to it. So that's all I wanted to say to Michelle. I would like to see everybody be taken care of. And my concern is the quality of care that we're going to get. And I'm done.
You're done. Okay. All right. Well, y'all, we were 15, 14 after the hour. We're going to go ahead and let y'all get your last words in. And we're going to start with Miss Ebony. We lost Mike. Oh, too bad. Oh, Miss Ebony,
I'm here.
Go ahead, your last words, ma'am.
Oh, my last words are, you know, great show, as always, Mr. Talk. And I don't know. I think sometimes people have to just wait and see what comes, because I think sometimes when we try and preempt it too much with our own interpretation of what's coming, you know, let's just wait, see the fine print, listen to all the conversations before we truly make a judgment on this system. I know that probably at the heart of it there is, you know, a good ideals in that, you know, everybody wants to see a system that's more open for more people to benefit and not just the few who can afford it. So, I'm willing to just wait and see, and I think time will tell what this develops into. I think people may be too quick to decide it's good or it's bad. That's my little say. Thank you.
Good point.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Ebony.
Okay.
All right. Next on the mic is Antoinette.
Well, it was a great show, Mr. Talk and Sister Agonia.
Thank you.
And Mr. Talk, I have a warning for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't get my Sister Agonia out dancing in the street now.
You got her dancing herself now. Don't get her out of the street dancing.
All right. I'll slow it down for the rest of me.
Okay.
I'm gonna have a shackle tomorrow. Okay.
No, don't have her shackled. I don't think she'll allow you to do that.
No. I say shouting.
Oh,
yeah.
Shouting. Oh, okay. Now I would love to hear that.
Okay.
I don't think we will, but.
Okay. All right. But that's it. That's it.
It was a great show. I truly enjoyed it.
Don't you find a word? Don't have a dance out in the street?
I enjoyed the show. It was
okay.
Very good. It
Thank
was
you.
Very informative. It was very informative and very relaxing. I truly enjoyed it. And thank you for having me.
You're always welcome. We love you.
Oh,
thank you.
Yeah, we love you. All right.
Oh, well, thank you, Mr. Talk. I love you.
You got a show tonight? Do you have a show tonight?
Yes, at 9 o'clock.
Okay. Go on and plug it now. Go on and plug it while you got their time. So they know.
Oh,
for
it's
listening.
The Ron Rex Show. At 9 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio.
All right.
You know
what y'all talking
sis.
About?
Pardon me?
I say, you know I'll be there, sis.
Yes, I know you'll be there. I'm grateful for you. I'm so glad
you
helped me a lot.
You know, usually I'm looking up stuff for the show, but I'm a...
Yeah,
okay.
That's usually what
well,
I'm doing,
she may have
so
other
I
jobs to do
thanks.
Now, but okay, we'll be there, though.
Look, I have to do the same thing, so
all
trust
right.
And believe, I understand.
You understand? All right.
Yes, I understand.
All right, ma'am, thank you, and we'll be there tonight.
Okay, well, thank
9 o'clock.
You very much.
Yeah.
Look at
that. Yeah, okay,
thank
we'll
you.
Be there. All right.
Okay.
let's see, Mr. Les playing with his baby, his grandbaby. All right, Maze, where you at?
I'm right here.
Wait a minute. We got some. Okay, there you go. Maze?
Yes.
Okay, your last words?
Yes, I like what you said when you were saying that change takes place and some people get upset about change because they don't know how to take it or where to go with it or what to do with it. Sometimes change is good for people that try to break things down, to not see it work. But a lot of times, sometimes when you miss the change, you're left out in the cold with the things you miss, overlooking what you should have got in the first place. So as I'm saying, I don't get upset with people about their opinions, because their opinion is their opinion and my opinion is mine. And what I know for a fact is the things that I've seen with my own eyes and then get it from nobody else, and the things that I do for other people, it's where my facts come from, not my opinion. That's all I got to say. Have a good day.
Thank you, Maze.
All right. Thank you, Miss Maze. You too. All right. Let's see. We're going to see if Les can attend a hot minute. Les, you there? Les, you there? Going once. Going twice. All right. He playing with the grandbaby. All right. Okay, Miss Ngonya, another good show. Good show. What's your last words, ma'am?
Well, I want to thank you for having me as your co-host. I appreciate the opportunity. I enjoyed the show. And I just my last word on the healthcare issue is I think you're right. It's the unknown. We have to wait and see. I really appreciate Ebony's contribution to the conversation and everybody's. We all have different points of view, and I'm glad we can share with each other. And N2K is saying, you know, that here in this country is pretty bad, and I have to agree with him, because when you're getting your health care from criminals and crooks, look out. That's all I got to say.
Amen to that. That's sure. That's what
they
I
haven't been
choice.
Benevolent
check it
for
out
so
yourself.
Far. When they bailed out all those big banks, they wasn't concerned about what was happening to the people. But they got money for bombs. They got money for war. They got money for everything else, and the people that are going to benefit from this health care is the corporations. That's it. That's all I got to say. That's just my opinion.
You got a point, especially a pharmaceutical, but we ain't going to go there.
They're the ones who wrote the bill.
Whew, Lord,
the insurance company is the pharmaceutical company.
See?
And whoever that was that said, when they read the bill, I started to laugh, almost choked. Congress don't read them bills. They even say that in public. They don't read them. They don't give them time to read them. They tell them how they better vote.
Say, read what
that's
they
what
have
they
to
tell them.
Square. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, why putting money in their back pocket. Of course, we know that.
Well, plus the NSA spying on them. They know everything they done wrong, so they know how to keep them in line. So they do what they're told, including
true
Mr. So-and-so in the Oval Office. He's got a red
very
phone.
True.
He takes orders from somebody. So it'll all work out in the end, I guess. You know, we'll keep alive, as Missy says.
Yeah, look, Clarence Thomas.
What'd you say, Mr.
You know what? Clarence Thomas told that, so we know he takes it. I say, you know, Clarence Thomas told that, so we know he takes order from somebody else. That's for
yes.
sure.
Yes.
And you know,
but time will tell. Time
you know,
will tell, won't it?
Live is an actual song.
It
yeah,
is?
Yeah, time will tell. Time will tell. Keep. Yeah, it's actually a song.
Is it a just a popular song?
Yeah, it's in a African-American hymnal. It actually is.
Okay.
I happened to go be thumbing through one, and I saw it. I'm like, wow, this is actually a song.
Well, I'll be darned. Learn something new every day. I didn't know that.
Stuff. I know, right?
Yes, and I do keep hope, you know.
Yes,
some people
yes.
think that I'm giddy, as Mr. Beasley says, and, you know, just think wishful thinking, but I wouldn't be able to get up every morning if I didn't have hope that things are going to get better. You know, my goodness.
I know, right?
And going back to your quote of the day, that's
there,
all about your quote of the day.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's good. I like that. I like the way you brought that all the way back around.
Well, that's what it is, you know.
Yeah. Basically, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's show, y'all, I know y'all going to be chomping at the bit for this one. It
uh-oh.
Is, what is good sex? What is
oh,
good sex?
Goodness.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do men and women define good sex, well, differently? And if so, what is so different about it? So, yeah, that should be an interesting. Hopefully we have a good share of men and women to give the points of view, because I'm curious about that one myself.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, Lord, it should be a hot one, though, I'm sure. Yes. All right, Ms. Ngonye, well, we got to get up out of here.
Don't forget me after
again,
the show.
You're a wonderful co-host. I'm glad you're doing
well.
Well,
oh, thank
I'm not,
you so much.
I'll send it to you.
Get me after the show.
Page. Yeah, I got you. I got
all righty.
Until then, I'll see you in a little while. Okay.
Bye-bye,
all right,
family.
All right, another great one, y'all. And don't forget, tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time. We'll be here. Let's see. Keep smiling. Keep laughing. Make sure you know. You know what? It's always good if you laugh. I don't care your situation. Some people say you're being insensitive. I say I'm being better. Better. I'm chilling. I'm releasing stress. So keep laughing. Learn to laugh. If you learn to laugh, things will be so much better for you, even in the worst of times. All right. Well, that's it for me. See y'all tomorrow. Don't forget to stop by Lewis Jackson Show at 6:30 Eastern Time. I'll be making a stop there real quick. And don't forget Ron Reck with Antoinette tonight, 9 Central Time. So, hey, we'll be there, man. I'm telling you. So y'all make sure things happen, all right? All right, y'all, until we getting out of here with this Monster Mix for Monday, and I'll talk to y'all tomorrow. You have a good one. Enjoy. I'm out.
Bye-bye.